Back here in Studio B with head coach Monty Williams, as we said before the break, the league mourns the passing of Dr. Jack Ramsey this week.
Yeah.
After nearly a decade and a half long battle with cancer.
Yeah.
He passed away peacefully, thank goodness, earlier this week. Coach, your relationship with him, did it first start when you arrived in Portland, or was there a relationship with Dr. Jack long before that?
I think anybody in the league can attest to this. If you're in the NBA, you have a relationship with Dr. Jack just because he was so accessible and he was about basketball. And so if you were a basketball guy, he knew who you were, even if you didn't know him or meet him. And so I hadn't met him until I started coaching in Portland. But after I met him and to hear the way that people talk about him in Portland, it only takes one meeting with him, his presence, his awareness, and his physical shape was like phenomenal. You almost feel embarrassed to be around him. And then you hear the stories of, you know, how he was still swimming across Lake Oswego in Oregon, which is this, Lake Oswego is a city there, a bit of a community, but there is a Lake Oswego. And if you've ever been to Audubon and you look across the Mississippi, it's about that wide in some parts. And he would swim across the lake for workouts. And so he did that, you know, for a lot of his life. And you hear story after story about his basketball knowledge. When I met him, it was, you know, one of those shock and awe kind of meetings. You just kind of shake his hand and then you just shut up and listen to him talk. And he came to a couple of our practices. He was a big fan of Nate McMillan's, and so he would come to practice, and it was amazing to see somebody like that who had accomplished so much sit there and take notes or sit there and watch practice like he was trying to learn something. And I'm just, you know, it's one of those things that impacts you as a young coach, that no matter how old you are or what you've done or what you've accomplished, that you can always learn something. And, I mean, you read the stories about him now, doing grassroots basketball programs in Africa at his age. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal to hear that, those kinds of stories about a guy who'd done so much for not just the Portland Trailblazers, but the basketball community at large.
Give me an example or two of something that you teach or you see being played out in the game today that you can directly attribute to him.
Yeah, his intensity for every situation. I was listening to people describe him, and they were like, man, he is the most competitive, most intense coach. And you don't, when you look at him, you don't see that. You know, if you watch the old films of the NBA and back when they were winning in Portland, you see the loud jacket and the checkered pants, and you're like, man, that guy's got some crazy stuff on.
Yeah.
You don't think about him being this intense coach who never takes a day off. And if there's one thing that I pride myself on is not taking many days off and bringing that intensity to the court, to the meeting, to the plane. I'm not always the easiest guy to be around during the season. And to hear people talk about Dr. Jack in that way gave me confidence that is a way that you can go about doing it, by approaching your job with a ferociousness every single day, because it is a privilege to be in this league. And that's what you tend to see from guys like Dr. Jack. They always looked at being in the NBA as a privilege.
Mm-hmm. You kind of touched upon it there. In my very few conversations with him and speaking to people like yourself who have a greater relationship with him, it's amazing to me, because most of the time when you think about somebody who has that ferocity to them or that intensity to them, they're really not sometimes the greatest people to be around.
Yeah.
And yet he was. And so I don't know how And he'll take that secret with him, I guess, or hopefully somebody will figure out that secret of being that ferocious, that intense, that passionate, but yet at the same time, you couldn't help but want to be around the guy all the time.
He had great balance, I would have to say. I think one of the things I've learned, as bad as I want to win a championship, if I don't have a good relationship with the people I'm around, and if they don't know my heart and know where all of this comes from, it's not worth it. And I think the guys like Dr. Jack, Coach Wooden, they figured that out a long time ago, mm-hmm. that the relationship is probably more important than the X's and O's and the wins and losses. And it can be a tough deal, especially today, with all the criticism and people who aren't qualified to talk about your job, who get a chance to, are always whacking you all the time. Guys like Dr. Jack had this infectious thing about them, and I think a lot of it was because everybody knew where it was coming from, and everybody knew that his goal was to not only win games, but to also help people get better in life, on the floor, and he was one of those guys that could help you do it. I mean, when I met him, he just called me by my first name, you know, right away. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know he knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And that is contrary to what it's like when I was a young rookie in the NBA. I'm starting for the New York Knicks, and I got to go against Clyde Drexler. And we're at the jump ball, and Clyde, you know, I'm thinking, man, I got to guard, you know, I got to guard Clyde tonight. And Clyde looks at me and says, what's your name again? And I didn't realize it that he was messing with me. But at the time, I thought, wow, he doesn't even know my name. Well, contrast that to Dr. Jack. Dr. Jack was, you know, one of those guys that wanted you to feel good about who you were, not just as a basketball player or a coach, but he gave you that respect as a human being. And with all that he accomplished as a basketball lifer, to have somebody like that that knew your name, I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't think we're doing this here, but sometimes when one speaks posthumously about somebody, it can get a little overblown or exaggerated. Yeah. That's just human nature. I don't think we're doing that here. But in that spirit, I guess, would you consider Dr. Jack Ramsey one of the great lions of this league? And do we have new lions emerging, I guess?
Yeah, I think you have to, just based on, I don't have great history with him, but when I listen to the Hubie Browns, when I listen to guys in the league like Coach Pop and Phil Jackson talk about Dr. Jack, they almost talk up to him. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a sign of what he meant to the game. You know, he didn't win 11 championships like Phil Jackson or 4 like Pop, but those guys reverenced him. If you listen to George Karl talk about him, I'm pretty sure if you had Nate McMillan sitting here right now, he could go on and on about stories that he had that only those two could share. But if the world knew all the exploits and the way he made people feel and what he did for basketball, obviously he was a father of the league, and we're going to be worse off not having him around going forward. I think we do have these caretakers of the game. Pop is one of those guys. He really cares about the game. Doc Rivers is another one. Rick Carlisle. When I'm around those guys, you understand that they really care about the game, mm-hmm. and how to make it better. And not only just the game, but how to make people enjoy the game and help them become better people. Eric Spoelstra is a guy that, you know, when I'm around him, he is a serious dude who is about basketball and he's about people. And so there are a number of guys. I think we've all learned that we have to take care of the game. And had not Dr. Jack and the Larry Browns of the world, the Dean Smiths, John Thompsons, had those guys not come along before us, I don't think we think about taking care of the game. I think it'd just be about winning and money. And the longer you're around this game, you understand that there's a responsibility to take care of the game so that people, not just people in America, now basketball is global, people from around the world can enjoy what we have enjoyed.
No doubt. Speaking of global, we're excited about your Team USA experience this summer. I know you are too.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can share? I know because I don't think you took much time after the last regular season game before you started thinking about your off-season program and whatnot. Yeah. Is there any thought that you are willing to share about maybe you have a new outlook on things, or did you have any epiphanies at the end of the season about, hey, you know what, maybe this off-season I'd like to try this,
yeah,
or I want to use our time in this manner. Is yeah. there anything that's kind of struck you here in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, when I'm looking at our games and my notes, the one thing I learned this year is giving guys freedom to play to their strength isn't a bad thing. I've always tried to create an atmosphere where guys can get better and then try to put them in positions where they can do it on the floor. The one thing when I'm looking at my notes and I'm looking at how some of our guys played above and beyond what I thought they were going to play with all the stuff that we had going on, to watch AD blossom once I kind of took the gloves off mm-hmm. him a little bit and let him go, a bit of an epiphany there, watching Tyreek blossom once we gave him the structure, put him in our atmosphere, and then it was like, okay, now go. There's a part of me that is at this point now where we've created the atmosphere. We have the structure. We got to get healthy. We all know that. But it's not a letting go as much as it is giving guys more freedom to be themselves. And I don't think I've been really good at that my first 3 years. As a coach with my players, I coach everybody. Doesn't matter how much money you make or who everybody else thinks you are. Along with that, there's some things that I have to do and say that everybody doesn't want to hear. But at the same time, I'm learning that it's okay to give guys freedom to do their thing. As long as they don't break our absolutes, there you go. And I'm as I look at my notes and I'm watching some of our games, I've seen how I've matured in that way. And I kind of got that from Coach K last summer. Is watching him with elite guys. You know, he really allows those guys to be themselves. And when you're a young coach, you're not as willing to do that. And
no, but
I struggle with it.
I think you've been on the brink of it, just watching you in practice. You have a phrase that you love to say. You'll get them in a set or a position that you want, and then you inevitably will say, and now we're just playing the game, or now we're just playing basketball. So it seems like you've been
yeah.
on the brink of that now for some time.
Yeah. I've said that a lot, but I haven't done it.
Okay.
You know, I've said that, and I'll tell guys, I want you to go out there and shoot the ball with confidence, and then if they take a shot that I deem as a bad shot, I rip them. And so that's for some guys, that's confusing. Now, a guy who's tough mentally knows what I'm talking about. Like if David West was here and he took what I thought was a tough shot, I'd be like, D. West, take him to the basket. He would know what I'm talking about because he's tough mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys aren't D. West.
No.
And so if I tell him, hey, I didn't like that shot, that doesn't mean don't shoot the next time you're open. It means take a better shot, play with confidence, and do what you've worked on. You have to learn how to talk to guys and how to reach guys. And I felt like I did a better job of that this year. Darius Miller, case in point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had a tough time playing for me because he couldn't get over the fact that I was getting into him. But I could see talent that he couldn't see. And he just got to a point where he could deal with me coaching him and play his game. And you started to see him blossom into this guy that we were like, man, I didn't know he had all that. Well, a lot of that was just me backing off of him a little bit, but it was a lot of him understanding that, Darius, I'm not against you. I'm the guy that wants you to get paid. I also want to see you help us win games.
Right.
Now go out there and do your thing.
Interesting. Good stuff. I kept you longer than I thought I would, and I apologize for that, but I do appreciate it. I do have to ask you one more thing, wrapping it back around to the first thing we talked about. With your daughter playing softball, are you a good little league dad, or do you struggle with it?
No, I would have to say I'm – my wife and I, and this is going to get a bit personal, I'm almost ashamed at some of the things I see at little league sports.
That's kind of why I'm bringing this up. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And we sit there. The one thing that I have done with all of our coaches that have coached our kids is after every game, I walk over to them and tell them, good job, coach. Just because, one, I know how hard it is to deal with criticism. But to see some of the things that are going on in little league sports now, it's bad. And I don't want to be that parent. And I know that because of my position, when I come to a gym or a field, there's something that goes with that. And I want to make sure I'm a part of the solution and not the problem. And so, and the other thing is I don't want to embarrass my kid. I mean, I am, you know, just me being me is enough. You know, and my kids are, I know they're waiting for me to say something crazy. And so when I go to a game, I'm quiet. And I want to encourage all of the players, and I really enjoy getting to know all of my kids' teammates, and that's what it, to me, that's what it should be about. I don't want to be the parent sitting there screaming at the umpire or screaming at a ref or yelling at a coach. That's not what little league sports, high school sports is all about. My high school coach was like my dad. He took me to get my license. He took me to basketball camp. He took me home from school when I didn't have a ride, fed me when I needed to be fed, and to this day still sends me text messages giving me tips on what I can do to help our team. And to me, that's what it's all about. And I don't want to destroy that relationship that my kid could have with their coach because I'm coming to the game screaming at everybody like a third world dictator with a machete in my hand running around my castle. That to me is not going to help my kid or the program get better.
I'm glad you answered the question because I think it's important, and I was curious as to how you handled it.
Well, it doesn't mean I'm just like anybody else. When I see things and I'm like, man, okay, coach, do this, okay. But at the same time, I got to trust that they're going to do what's right by my kid. And like I said, after every game, when I get a chance to, I try to walk over to whether it be high school basketball, track coach, softball coach, and let those guys or gals know that I think they did a great job and I'm with them.
Good to see you, Coach.
Thank you, bro.
Yep.
It's been a long time. I miss doing my job, man. I cannot wait to get back on the sidelines and get rolling again. But it's good to see you guys also. And another shout out to the Heisley family. They've lost a great owner, a great person, a guy who did a lot for Memphis basketball. And our prayers go out to Craig Sager as he's fighting for his life. So a lot of storylines in basketball right now, but a number of things that are going on that we need to pray about.
Yeah, you've got two lists now. You've got your list of what I like about the playoffs and a little prayer list on the side here, too. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, it's important.
Yep. All right, Coach. I hope you get a little more time with your family before you get banished to the cave.
Yeah.
As you said.
Yeah. I did catch a 30-inch red.
Okay.
Yeah, I caught it on light tackle, too. That was really, really fun. I was down in my favorite spot in all of Louisiana, which is the bayou down in the marsh.
But you're not going to say specifically, are you?
No, no,
it's
no.
It's a secret,
not
isn't
giving
it?
Up my spot. We found a new spot that that holds a number of reds and trout. Caught the biggest flounder I've caught since I've been here. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And that was like my second day fishing. So I'm looking for that monster 35 to 40 plus red, and I haven't gotten that baby yet, but one of them has my name on it, and I'm going to get it.
You used to be a golf fanatic. I think you've changed over now.
All golf is done. It's over, man. I can't do it with my kids.
Right.
And so anything that I can't do with my kids in the off season is off my list. And my kids like to fish. They like being outside. They like when we go fishing and we stop by a store and get them all the stuff they want to eat. But more importantly, we get a chance to spend time together. And they didn't like golf much, so I can't do it. If they don't like it, I can't do it.
No, you're right. There are ups and downs about living here, challenges that everybody knows about, but fishing is one of the luxuries.
Man,
you can go anywhere you want here.
Best in the country, maybe best in the world.
Good to see you, Coach. Thanks again.
You too, brother.
All right.